Thank you. Welcome, everyone. This is the session 322 on Project Server, Microsoft Project, and Team Foundation Server. And we'll talk about that integration. How are we doing on the mic back there? I know this is recorded. Is that coming in clear? A little bit of an echo here up here. Put that down. Okay. If you haven't gotten one yet, just raise your hand. These are the technical project lifecycle flowcharts. Just a quick update for you. These are designed to kind of showcase, say, maybe a waterfall approach at the top, but then break it down into system software development lifecycle. And again, you look at best practices, key inputs, outputs, change control, stage gates, et cetera. A lot of organizations that begin using Project Server, as well as development work, are constantly thinking through, you know, what is that cycle, how does it go, and how does it work together? So welcome, everyone. I know some people will still be trickling in here, so let's get started. First and foremost, let's just make sure I got the right slide going here. There we go. A couple session rules. So if you could, please turn off your cell phones or turn them down. If you do have to answer a phone, just step right out. We know how busy things are. And also trying to sneak away for the conference is hard, especially with everything going on. How's the session going so far? Is everybody thumbs up? Do you like what Ludo and everyone's saying here? All right, great. So it's exciting to see kind of the 2013 beginning to really spread out its wings in terms of online, on-premise, a lot of different options and option capabilities. So as we get going here, basically for those of you who are attending, the flowcharts are for you. I'm with a company called Advisicon, and we do a project program and portfolio management. We'd like to see people have a lot of knowledge embedding in terms of how to take advantage of some of these and work with it. At the end, we definitely encourage you to fill out your evaluation. This is how the project team evaluates the speakers, different sessions, topics. We took a lot of feedback in terms of, kind of throwing a net out there, trying to meet the wider and broader audiences for us to work with. And again, we're going to have a little bit of fun as we go through today. So welcome. All right, so I won't say lovely assistant because he'll probably punch me in the arm, but up at the top here we have Chetan Patel, and he is our development team manager. He's primarily responsible for a lot of the development work that we do, and we've been speaking at the project conferences for the last few years. I am a project MVP, which means I not only support customers, but I also go back to Microsoft and help poke them in the nose and say, hey, look, this feature can work better, and here's why. So a lot of it's that bi-directional feedback from you guys in terms of learning how to use the tool and then apply that to your culture and culture methodology. As we go through here, again, like I said, we're a gold partner, work with Project, and if you guys have not attended any of the Visio sessions, I encourage you to do that. We're looking at Visio being an upcoming and business intelligence tool as well. So as we get started here, a little bit of my background is I have been doing this for about 20 years, and this is a picture of my daughter, which I had just a few months ago. And if you guys can't see the picture there, Ty, maybe if you could dim one of the lights. Is that possible? Dim the front. No light dimming? Bueller? Anyone? Okay. Well, Project Server, a lot of people are excited about it. A lot of people aren't necessarily always excited about it, depending on your culture and where you work. This picture that I took was her first day in her car seat. And you can see, from a cultural perspective, my daughter has a lot of my disposition. She's pretty happy. She likes to laugh and look at things, but not so happy about the car seat. And so when we think in terms of Visual Studio, Team Foundation Server, and you think in terms of development teams who are working, and then we talk about project program and portfolio management. Many cases you'll see culturally or sometimes even trying to get the two to mesh together doesn't fit very well. So as we get in here, sometimes we kind of flip this over and talk about how developers feel. So I'm going to talk a little about roles and role reversal, but if you look here at the screen, the poor developer is the basically the object of attention. And a lot of not only happy attention, but sometimes negative attention. And as we look at changing culture, growing and building a project management community of practice, leveraging great tools like Project or Project Online or SharePoint or Office 365, you're going to see that there's a lot of things that can be changed or done. One of the stories that's been emerging in the last 4 or 5 years is leveraging Visual Studio and having some sort of a connector to Project. So Our agenda today, kind of from a high level here, Chait looks like that's a little washed out, but the idea is I want first and foremost for you guys to have an understanding of what Team Foundation Server is. What is it? What does it do? What's the value proposition? And definitely how to take advantage of that. Then we'd also take a look at the capabilities in terms of integrating Visual Studio with Project and Project Server. What's the value prop of bringing those pieces together, and how do we solve some of the pain in the organization? And of course, we're going to do some demos, and I will take some Q&A in terms of what's there. Tyler's, I think some of those are left, so just why don't you grab them all, and you got them. Okay. And of course, I will kind of pause mid-demo so we have a chance to have interaction. By the way, I've actually brought some cell phone holders, which actually sit on your desk. And for great questions, I want to throw these out there, and I'll be careful when I throw. I just want to make sure that we can encourage you guys to kind of ask great questions. I like an interactive audience. Okay, so key learning points. Learn the value from a PM's perspective of Team Foundation Server. Of course, you guys, if you haven't worked with Project or Project Server, we're not going to spend too much time drilling into Project. It's really more about leveraging the Better Together story between these two. Of course, talking about what TFS can do specifically for these audience or roles, but looking specifically at demand management and resource capacity planning. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in detail because it's important to understand how we capture demand. So for those of you that are using Project Server 2013, is anybody, in fact, show of hands here. How many people are using Project Server 2013, whether in the cloud or on-premise? Show of hands. Raise your hands here. Have you guys actually used the Capture SharePoint sites to bring in projects? And if you didn't know that, you can actually go out and grab a SharePoint site and say, hey, look, you guys are managing out there. We're going to bring that in. So the idea of capturing demand is very important in terms of us not forcing people necessarily always to have to change what they're working on or where they're doing it to work with it. So as we get in, I'm going to look at this diagram at the top here. And this is a great little picture. In fact, I'll just kind of circle a few pieces. It talks about on the left-hand side of the screen here, the level of maturity. We talk about process, meaning if you look at an organization, you begin to standardize your processes, looking at a little bit more formality. And then moving from there into at the bottom on our horizontal scale, talking of collaboration. How important is collaboration in project, program, and portfolio management? And if we look at that spectrum, what you're going to find is that in the lower left-hand corner, and I know that's a little bit tiny there, but what is the number one project management tool used pretty much anywhere, everywhere? It's what? Excel, and then you might have what? Outlook and Word. And so we find that there's a morphing of technology. And so as you begin moving forward through basic project management, up to advanced project management, maybe kind of standalone, I'm kind of an advanced project manager, you'll start using Project or Project Standard or Professional or even the Click to Run project, which is now in the cloud. You can just basically have an online subscription and get Project Professional, pull that down and use it directly. But as you begin moving forward, as you say, well, you know, it's great, but I need to collaborate with a team, we start hearing things like SharePoint and looking at the size and scope and the opportunity of embedding project information inside of a SharePoint portal, which is really exciting and very powerful tool put together. Then we begin to look at the collaboration in terms of reports, business intelligence. This morning you should have seen some demos, certainly in the keynote, talking about PowerView, Power Pivot, Excel services. And again, I encourage people to even take a look at Visio services as part of the BI suite for data-driven graphics. But moving forward with that, we get into this collaboration with SharePoint and Project Online. And up here at the very top spectrum, we talk about enterprise project program and portfolio management. And with that, you'll find specifically is that there's an opportunity. Come on, anybody. You can find specifically that there is a connection to your technical team, not just people who are managing schedules or even timesheeting. And that's where we're going to spend our time today, is walking through some of the value proposition from there. So why does it matter? Now, if you haven't heard, we've actually had quite a few folks who've had an interesting time getting in from the inclement weather. So I'm going to do a little bit of role-playing here. And what I'd like to do is first introduce a new resource to the PMO. And this resource is going to represent the project manager's perspective, but as seen through the developer's eyes. So I'm going to kind of do a little role-playing here. And give me just a second. All right. How y'all doing today? I'm Mike Hauser, and I am now working for your organization's PMO. My job here is to help organizations do better project reporting. Now, you may have seen me before on COPS. You may have even seen me on an episode of America's Most Wanted, where I helped to take down some stealth projects and put some project felons behind the PMO bars. And I take no nonsense. I am absolutely going to ensure we get good project and schedule reporting information. So while we're working through this, I want to let you know that we're currently working on a sting operation. What we're tracking down is a very, very dangerous cartel. It's called the development team. And that development team, they constantly are doing everything in their power not to update their project schedules or give us information that we can rely on. In fact, let me tell you about this. They tell us from week to week they're 90% done. It's making me lose my mustache. I'm so upset. Well, that's going to stop. We need good schedules. We have senior management. They are excited about reports, and we can't get any visibility of what's going on with the dev team. In fact, what we're going to do is try and close that down. So essentially, as we get started moving through this and providing solutions, we are going to make sure that as we work in this new project 2013, that we can address some of the important things, like herding these cats. They're everywhere. They're working on lots of stuff. Sometimes people will walk over their cube. They kind of wander off. We don't have no visibility to that. We're going to change it. Estimates. My goodness. When we ask them for an estimate, they tell us something, and then next week it's changed, and it changes over and over again. So in terms of trying to get estimates, let alone actuals, that's impossible. So we're going to be working to fix that. And of course, way too many details. They've got something called Agile or Agile, or they call it Scrum or Scrabble. I'm not sure what it is, but I think it's a complex set of terms that are designed to help confuse the project managers. And we won't tolerate that because we need our schedules up to date. And of course, as we get in here, I know it takes heroic effort to get things done, but a simple schedule should be all we need, right? So as we get started, we're going to make sure that's fixed. Again, I'm Mike Hauser. I'm with your project PMO. I'm with the project schedule police. All right. Questions while I change my gear. Go ahead. We're going to throw a net around all of it, because I think that is important for us to understand how those pieces go together. All right, next, I'd like to introduce you to the development team. And it's important to understand their perspective. So I'm going to play the role of our dev team lead developer and development team manager and help you understand their perspective. So let me slip into character here. Hi, everyone. How are you doing today? My name is Ed Rosenthal, and I just happen to be your project development team lead. And I'm excited to be here. In fact, one of the things that I'm constantly doing is I'm making the tools that you use every day work. In fact, you might as well call me Clark Kent, because I do heroic effort. I deliver value constantly. And it's interesting that you see this red S on my chest. Well, this red S, you know, you might as well call it Software Man, because that is exactly what we deliver, except it won't stay. So I need to write a program to make that stay up there. All right. So as we get going, I think that I need special treatment. It's important because, you know, as from a developer, it is critical that we deliver the value on the requirements that you give us. In fact, I asked HR for a red cape. They said it was some sort of a safety violation, so apparently won't be getting that. But again, I want to talk about my biggest complaints from the developer standpoint. These project managers are always coming to us asking for us to do things. In fact, one of the things that they do is they have us do time entry in like two or three systems. Can you believe that? We don't have time to do that. We've got a timesheet over here. Then we've got our own tracking system. Then I got a spreadsheet. Then I have this little notepad I keep on my desk. And then they want us to use this project online or project server. When are we going to get any coding done or development work done? So as we're going through this, it's important, first of all, that when people come to us to ask us for an estimate, don't they understand we've never done this before? So, yeah, okay, sometimes we make up estimates, but, you know, in general, we try and get it close. I've tried to explain the value of Scrum and Agile, helping look at iterative development and work cycles that put things together. But, you know, those PMs don't get it. And that whole chicken and pig thing, well, the pig is debatable on who is part of the project team. But in general, we are always trying to deliver value. In fact, trying to use Microsoft Project is too cumbersome. We have so many things going on. We don't want to go in and type a schedule or put in a task when I have 15 things, and that might change from day to day. So how in the world are we supposed to use Microsoft Project to support my dev team? And of course, doesn't the PMO know that it's important that we get things done? In fact, I spend most of our time doing weekends, evenings. Sometimes we have a whole trail of bodies we leave delivering the final project to the delivery line. And yet they want to add more things like project meetings and talking to the customer and, of course, you know, updating the schedule. So what I'd like to do is talk about some of my main pain points. Here they are. We're too busy to track and report on multiple tools. We need this to be simple, right? Just leave us alone. Give us the requirements. We'll get it done. Of course, you have to train the project managers about development world, and that takes time too. And so it's hard for us to take very complex things that have never been done and create something that's a solution. Of course, project is too simple of a tool, right? We're talking about Agile, right? Not Waterfall or PMI or PRINCE2. It just doesn't quite fit. And of course, the idea is that things are dynamic. They change all the time. So to build it in a schedule doesn't work. So how many people have heard some of this, seen some of this, experienced some of this, felt some of this? All right. So thank you for indulging my role-playing here. But it's important for you to understand that some of these are actual legitimate complaints that happen with Project Online, the development team. And the value in terms of looking at what we're trying to solve is that it is true. These are legitimate pain points from both sides of the spectrum. So how does Visual Studio, Team Foundation Server, Project and Project Online or Project Server work to solve that problem? So what we're going to be looking at is how to simplify schedule building for PMs, right? I don't want, as a project manager, to have all of the technical team's tasks in my schedule. In fact, that becomes counterproductive. But at the same time, we do need visibility in allowing the technical teams to work where they're comfortable, but we need to know progress, actuals, estimates. We need to see some of that information come in. And it's hard for project managers to kind of mimic that in a tool called Project when really it may not be even representing that. Methodology, in some cases, you're going to find out does not matter. The statement that Project is not an Agile tool is absolutely false. In fact, I'm going to show you an Agile waterfall environment that we're going to work from. But in general, however, methodology sometimes does dictate what we call demand. What is the level of details that we are tracking and what we're working with? Okay. One of the things that I'm excited about is looking at saying, listen, if we don't have people timesheeting directly, is it possible to still get actuals to come in from whatever tool it is back into Product so we can do our business intelligence and our reporting? And of course, we want those worlds to fit together. So first and foremost, let's just talk about Scrum. So here's a picture on the left-hand side, and people kind of wonder, Scrum, there's just a ton of stuff going on, lots of energy, sometimes the flavors or terms don't make a lot of sense. But in general, we're talking about iterative development. And if you've never heard about Scrum, or if that's a new term to you and you call it Scrum or, you know, Scrabble or some other Agile term, the idea is that we have stakeholder representatives, and you'll hear the terms like chicken and pig and sprints and backlog. And these are things that are important for us to look if we're building a schedule that may need to be reflective. So moving forward, we can definitely capture the demands, pull that in, and not only necessarily not get to the level of detail in Project, but we want to represent that. And Chaitin, I think you've got a schedule. Would you pop that open for me in Project? So I did a webinar. In fact, I actually will include the link in this presentation. But we did a webinar in December worldwide webinar, and it was recorded, so you can actually view it. And by the way, there are PDUs for that. So if you want to go and check the recording out, it's great. But what I did is, Chaitin, if you'd zoom in real closely for me, I'd like you to zoom right to the top portion where, there we go, where it says customer need, story points, and then Chaitin, move over a little bit more. You'll see where it says sprints and state. So if you think about project is a relational database. It's not a waterfall tool. It is not an agile tool. It's not a scrum tool. It's a relational database. And if you understand how to insert rows and columns, you're able to manage custom fields or custom ways to group and view that information. In this case, we're listing story points where there's a roll-up of information. Whoops, here we go. And prioritization by the customer, we might be looking at state. And so, Chaitin, why don't we do this? Why don't you hit escape and then zoom out. I'd like to go ahead and zero directly in on the view tab. And then let's go to grouping and hit the drop-down arrow. There should be a burn-down view. Go ahead and zoom in real quickly so people can see this. So the idea is if I'm looking at grouping or presenting a view, and if you haven't noticed that Project 2013 now has the Excel charting and graphing engine actually built inside of it, they've actually got this beautiful reporting tool, we can still sort, group this information in a burn down view or a breakdown of what's done, how many story points, what's the prioritization, and organize that by using it like a database. And if you work with Visual Studio, which is also a relational database, we start looking at things that have relationships and beginning to say, you know, these databases have the ability to talk together. So, Chaitin, go ahead and hit escape and let's zoom back out. So going forward with this, it's important to understand that we can leverage the best of both worlds in terms of bringing those together. Let's hop on the PowerPoint. Okay. So for those of you who want to hit my website or send me an email, I'll definitely make sure I have a link. We're going to post this not only from the project conference, it'll go out, but I'll put it on our website. But down here is also the link to that Agile webinar, which is how to use Microsoft Project and Project Server or Project Online in an Agile environment. And by the way, the templates I'll certainly be happy to make available to you from a learning perspective. All right, so let's talk about what is Visual Studio and Team Foundation Server. So most of us have a taste of Microsoft Project or Project Server, kind of understanding about that, but what does actual Visual Studio do for us? So Chaitin, let's go ahead and pop into Visual Studio, and I'd like you to just to go in and do a short, quick tour about this product and what it provides to the development. By the way, Chaitin is the, like I said, the head of our development team and spends quite a bit of time in here, and so in many cases, you'll find that there are a project management system geared around development terms. So, you ready? Okay. Chaitin, go ahead. Turn your mic on if it's...
Sure. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how you get the Visual Studio Online version, which is DFS Online. And by default, you can sign up for 5 user free license or on the internet, which is available. But I already have the account created, so I'm going to just go ahead and create a brand new DFS solution. And we're going to use that for project to connect to that, and then we're going to publish that out to PWN, TWN, and stuff like that.
So what you're looking at right now, just for me to chime in here, is that we're looking at kind of a collaboration portal around Visual Studio. By the way, this is TFS Online, Visual Studio Online. So we can actually do an on-premise demo or an online demo. We're going to do the online. It's almost virtually identical. There's just a couple variations, and we'll call those out as we come through. Go ahead, Chaitin.
And when you create the TFS project, you have 3 different templates available, and I'm going to just use Agile for now, and it's going to create an on-fly project, and we're going to use that project for moving forward demo. So.
Which one did you pick? The Agile,
yeah.
Agile schedule template, okay. Drum roll, please. So while we're waiting for that to load and actually hit the cloud and generate a project, spawn the views, spawn our objects, out of curiosity, how many people are currently using Visual Studio within their organizations now? Wow, most everyone here, okay. And has anybody actually used this in the 2010 environment where they actually had a connector to project? Okay, some of you have. Again, on-premise, correct? None of the cloud stuff, yep, okay, good. So Excellent. Chetan, go ahead.
So once the project is created, you come to the project kind of a dashboard page where you have all kinds of stuff where work, code, build, and test team goes into it. You have a backlog. You have a task board.
Why don't you zoom it? It's a little small. Sure. Just zoom that so it'll be easier to see.
There's a backlog, task board, and queries. I'm just going to go right into the backlogs and just show you how what you can see over there. It's an area where you're going to see the features, stories, task, bug, and stuff like that. And it's all on cloud. And you can see by iterations, which is a sprint cycle, by clicking on it. What we're going to do is we're going to create a Microsoft project file and publish that out to cloud version of TFS, connect that, and then we're going to see the data. So I'm not going to put the data manually here, so it's going to be faster that way.
Let me stop you right there. So if you didn't hear what Chetan said, he says, I'm going to actually take a project schedule, which might be a little bit easier to work in, and I have the ability, certainly within TFS, to build basically features, build user stories, go through and actually build the task. You can assign things, you can create defects. There's a lot of details that are in there. But he's going to start in project to build the same thing and then push that right down into project. Inherently, the idea is that we can kind of create a little bit better schedule, maybe on a timeline view, put milestone or key pieces in there, push that directly down between project into TFS. Go ahead.
And the other thing about this interface is a TWA, they call Team Web Access. And you don't need to have Visual Studio or anything like that. So if you are a developer or manager or anything like that, you can just straight use that. But at the same time, if you have a Visual Studio, which is I have it over here, which is 2013 Visual Studio, I can just connect right from here to the team project. And I'm just going to connect to the one which we just created. So like the team project, it's coming up. And then I'm going to connect to the shopping cart.
So he has a project called Shopping Cart, and this is basically a Team Foundation Server initiative.
And go ahead, Chetan. I'm connected now, and now I can do everything from Visual Studio. I can create a bug, task, anything from here. So same kind of interface what you see in online version. So these are my work items.
Go ahead and zoom in for that, Chetan. It'll be a little easier to see.
This is where you create a new work items, which could be storyboard or story points and stuff like that. We're not going to go ahead and create it manually here, but if you are a developer or if you're a tester using Visual Studio, it's pretty much similar interface what you have been seen in the past. So,
go ahead.
This is where you create bug, task, user story, features, issues, and test cases, all those things. Once you create over here, which is connected to the online version, which pushes down to the TFS online version. So same kind of interface you see at both sides. So, you want me to change it to PowerPoint slide?
Yeah, why don't we'll go ahead and move into that real quick, and then yeah. I'll do first some Q&A, and then we'll jump right back into some of the build points there. Okay. So in terms of Visual Studio or Team Foundation Server, the idea is that you use her TWA. You sometimes hear PWA, Project Web Access, talking about a SharePoint collaboration portal. Team Web Access, essentially allowing the end user to connect and view that information within their collaboration portal. Here we go. Okay. So from a value proposition is that we get into a place where if developers are checking in and checking out code, meaning multiple people working simultaneously on the same code, you need a repository to do that. Again, using our Visual Studio environment, TFS, we use this specifically to control versioning on code. You can create tasks and relationships. You can have parent-child relationships. We talk about creating a task or creating what we call a feature. And a feature might have a series of user stories, meaning kind of a description from there. And we can begin assigning our developers, you're going to be working on these particular items, and you create kind of a tree control nested together. And of course, from a tactical project management from a development world, very helpful in terms of planning and tracking a lot of complex moving parts that need to be pulled together, especially with diverse teams or multiple individuals working there. Again, common building blocks in the language of the development team. And of course, from us, we get into a reporting engine, which we won't be going into today, that's around Visual Studio that says, hey, look, we can allow people to start looking at information. So the technical teams are managing that kind of environment. Whereas if we took the project manager and said, let's step back and look at what they're doing and the technical teams that might be feeding into that, they usually are managed that in a schedule or an online schedule working from there piece by piece. Okay, so we did a demo of, did I go the right way? Demo of TFS. Questions. Let me just kind of pause there because this is important. And I remember I've got some nice little handouts here for you guys. So questions, comments about Visual Studio TFS so far make sense? Questions? Right. So let me repeat the question. So because we are on recording, so where do we find work is best? Whether it's in a SharePoint environment or an online Visual Studio environment, and sometimes it's really about relationships of who needs to see what. Typically, from a project perspective, we find that you'll use a SharePoint workspace site, which is the collaboration repository for documentation. But if that information is sensitive or it doesn't make sense, then I wouldn't pollute the SharePoint site with that. It would stay within the TFS online environment or the TFS on-premise environment. Okay, good question. Here you go. In the back, yes, sir. Sure. So the question is that why would we want to use Project or Project Server to build something if we're already doing collaborative work in, or we're building kind of a project or a, we'll call it a project, because it is, in TFS or Visual Studio? And that's an actual excellent question. And so let me, here you go, pass that down. So the answer really is chicken or egg, right? And I don't mean Scrum or chicken and pig. It's really, when is a project a project? Really? When is a project a project? If you're doing portfolio management, you may not have a clue about even the full requirements of the development team. And so in many cases, we start talking about when does that project start to draw resources? We need to figure that out. In many cases, that's well before the development team is actually sitting down and actually creating a project or user stories or tasks or have bugs or defects. And so in many cases, that starts early on in the portfolio planning and selection cycle, which would be in project or even moving from SharePoint to project. And then you start with maybe a resource plan in Project Server, and suddenly you're building a schedule, and you go, wow, we better bring in the SMEs, right? This is the people closest enough to the fire that are going to help us understand how we do that. So the idea is that you may have an evolving process where if it's a short little blip, we're doing some development work, you might start in TFS and push it to project. Remember, the idea of Project Server is that we have one common resource pool, right? One resource pool to rule them all. And that gives us our demand and capacity connection and comparison between the two. So it depends when and where the project starts. Okay, one more question. Yes? Christine?
I've also had where I've had multiple development teams, but they're part of a bigger project. So I have infrastructure coming in, I'm building servers, I'm building rooms for electrical and things like that, and that isn't answered in TFS. It's a bigger part of the project, so the connection between TFS for my development team, and then it dumps right into Project Server.
Thanks, Christine. Again, that's a subset, right? We're talking about a subpoint, and we talk about program management, integrating different pieces. Okay, let's keep moving along, because I know I want to get into really the nuts and bolts. So let's talk about Project and Project Server working with TFS. Let's just see how that works. So, Chetan, I'm going to hand this back to you. Oh, no, actually, I've got this. I'm sorry, let me take it from here. So I've put this into a little bit more of a diagram with some descriptions, and I don't want you guys to have to read this, but I want people to kind of digest it. But the idea, if you look at the overall diagram, is that we start with a project, whether that is a high-level place or a PM has been assigned or maybe it hasn't been assigned. But inherently, if we look at how Project Server would work, is that we define deliverables, a work breakdown structure. We might have an enterprise project plan, but we're starting with some sort of a high-level structure. From there, you might be deciding to say, okay, let's go ahead and take that out of Microsoft Project And let's move that into Enterprise Project Server and connect to its resource pool. So you might start with a Project Pro plan, kind of building, working, managing that, and then grab that information and go, listen, let's take that into Server. We actually need to actually connect that and begin to see maybe some what other what-if scenarios. Now, from there, once we publish a project into Project Server, and I'm talking about on-premise, because I'll talk about cloud here in just a minute, but there's some variations, is that once it's there, we begin to say, listen, I need to pull some data from Project Server, and I want to start synchronizing that information with Team Foundation Server. Well, if you're in the on-premise environment, basically 2010 or 2013 or Visual Studio 2012, there is a free connector. You just get it for free, and you can connect those two and tell them to sync. What's important here, and I've called this out on the left-hand side, is that you definitely want to do some integration mapping. The reason for this is that if you have custom fields or story points, or if you have things that you want to kind of marry or map between the two, iteration is another term for sprint. But if I want to begin syncing these pieces together, we need to be able to go and map the two places and go, all right, these two databases, here's how they're going to sync. So what we want to do is sync those two together. And so there is on MSDN, there's a little technical article that walks you through how to do that. Basically, you're going to list some XML code, create a little XML source file. You create the map between the two, and then you tell it to sync together. And the idea is that it pulls the data from Project Server, runs that synchronization engine with Team Foundation Server, and then it begins to update work items in TFS, meaning that we are either pulling tasks out of project, putting it into Visual Studio, or basically TFS, or we can take TFS items and push that back into project and begin to sync the two. And you get to define that. And we'll actually showcase this here in just a second. I want to walk through that. However, going through creating that status is important, is that once we have changes coming and going, the project manager might be making updates. There might be some timesheeting that's coming in at different dimensions. And then maybe you have the development team in TFS putting estimates or progressing actuals. And we're going to see a demo of that today as well. But inherently, the whole idea is that you go through there and you're going to continue to do a sync. Number 6 talks about approves or updates. And remember, Project Server has, by default, the ability for the PM to say, well, thank you, Mr. Team Member. You just entered remaining work at 8,000 hours when you meant to put 80. And when you hit submit, it doesn't just roll right into the database and blow out your schedule. So you have an opportunity to review and approve that, not only from Project to Project Server environment, but also from Team Foundation Server if that information comes in. So that flexibility allows the PM to stay in control of their schedule even if pieces are being managed or edited in different places. And of course, finally, once we approve that, then it should rain back down to the work items in Team Foundation Server. Chaitin, let's see here. I'm going to hop over. This is a description of each one of these, and I don't want to read from an eye chart here. But it is important to understand that in terms of the layers or layer information is that if you are building a schedule in a tree control, that each layer has to be approved by the project manager or the person who owns the schedule before other items are actually allowed into the Project Server environment. So the idea is if you may have created a tree structure, we have 3 nested levels of information. So you might say, here's a feature, and here are some user stories, and here's some tasks. As we begin to create that, they need to be approved before they'll show up in the project schedule. Now, at the bottom here, let's talk about current scenarios. And this is where really people get excited and also in some cases dismayed. So first they say, well, hey, listen, we've got Project Server on-premise and TFS on-premise that work together. Free connector, you've got them, you bought them, you put them, you connect them together, and you're able to use that. In this room, how many folks are now using just on-prem and on-prem TFS? Show of hands. So that is about 40% at least of the audience that says we're on-prem directly. Okay. Next, it talks about Project Professional Online and basically TFS Online. And if you haven't seen that, that TFS is on. Is anybody using TFS Online now? Okay. Oh, just TFS, all by itself. Yep. Nope. Online. Yep, this is online. Okay. So about 25% of you guys roughly kind of touching it online. And then if you haven't heard, Project Professional is also a click-to-run product in the cloud. So you can basically run that. And that will connect to TFS or Visual Studio in the cloud. Those two will connect. But what will not connect is Project Server Online or Project Online until today. And I'm going to announce that we have a connector for that so that you're able to stay in the cloud working from TFS Visual Studio Online to Project Server Online. Question, go ahead. Okay. All right. Who built it? Yeah, the cloud is an interesting animal. So the question was, is that somebody was testing a connector and it worked for a little while, then it stopped working. Yes, go ahead. Question? Did that answer your question? Oh, it was in the back. Yep. Okay, we're going to demo that, right? So basically Project Online, Project Server Online. Project Server Online does not have the connector, except today we're going to actually demo it. So, and by the way, I'm not Microsoft, so just to let you know. Guest question, go ahead. Well, there are some granular levels of details that are different between the two databases, and that's part of what we talk about, if I go back a couple slides here, is that you need to define that integration piece right here. So what is that definition applied? Chaitin, you want to speak to that in terms of day-to-day?
So what we're going to demo them the story points and the hours and stuff like that, so that will clear up the...
Right, because in many cases, the team foundation server task is just a bucket. Right? It's not saying 8 to 5. It says it's this much time. Whenever it gets done, that's what we've got, and we're going to track our time against that. Okay. Let's do the demo. So let me get that in the right place here. And let's go ahead and do it. So, okay, Chaitin, go ahead and pop over, and let's walk them through project connecting to, and we're going to do this with the online versus an on-premise. So everything we're going to do is online.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open the existing schedule, which is shopping cart, which has two different sets of tasks, one for customer store side and another one for admin side. And what I have over here is just a list of features sitting there, nothing deeper into it, like how the dev team is going to build it, who is a tester, and stuff like that. So what I'm going to do is...
Go ahead and zoom it. So each screen, we'll go ahead and just zoom it. The screen resolution changed with the projector, so this should be a little bit easier to see. There we go.
This is what it looks like list of features with a number, kind of hours and the number of days and the start and end dates. Nothing magic about it. What we're going to do is we're going to push this file to Project Online, and we're going to push this file also to TFS Online, and then we're going to bring the dev team comes up with their sprint cycle and stuff like that, and bring it over to project and push it down to Project Online. So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to connect this to Project Online. So this is the project I have, so I can get the resources into this. Right now I don't have a resource sitting here. So for that, I'm just going to go ahead and file save as.
Shopping cart.
And that's going to go to the Project Online. You're going to see at the lower left-hand corner, it's connecting, synchronizing the data to the server. And finally, it will go down to Project Online.
Okay.
So you can see that it's successfully completed. So now this project file is sitting there in Project Online. I'm going to add some resources into this. So I'm just going to go and build a team and add some resources. So let me just add myself, a few more resources, which is team.
Don't give me any work.
Maybe let's get Jesse into it also. So I added a few resources, and what I'm going to do is I'm just going to assign a few tasks to different people. So one to me and one to team. Let's get Ty, and let's get Jesse one. So I have like four features being assigned to different team leads, basically. So what I'm going to do next is I'm going to connect this to TFS Online. We just created a few minutes ago, the shopping cart, right before the slides. So what I'm going to do is Go to the team.
Yeah, click on the team tab and zoom that real quick for people to see this. So for those of you that not only understand that you can customize the ribbon, you can tinker with the ribbon, when you connect to TFS or basically Visual Studio, Project immediately enables basically this team tab. The idea is that we are going to go and connect to the TFS project that would be in parallel. So let's go ahead, or we'll create one, but we need to know what server account we're going to connect to. Go ahead, Chetan.
So I'm just going to go and click on Choose Team Project. And I'm connecting to the site which we just created, and I'm connecting to the shopping cart.
Zoom that real quick, Chetan, so they can see that. So what you look in the top portion here is you can see the server. Basically, PC14, Visual Studio, one we set up, we basically set up an online environment for that. And then here's the project that we created in Team TFS. We didn't actually add any tasks. We didn't add any features or user stories. But we're going to connect to that. Go ahead, Chetan.
Click Connect. As soon as I connect, this view is going to change, and it's going to bring other stuff from the TFS. It's not going to bring any work items or anything like that, but it brings the other sets of fields which we can use it and tinker with it. The first thing which we're going to see is the publish and refresh. You're going to see iteration path. You're going to see work item type, area path, and then we have the resources. So these are the four fields it brings it when you connect to the TFS.
Go ahead and zoom that real quickly. Now, this will depend upon your instance of TFS and that mapping. Remember, we talk about, hey, I need to map the correct field. So if you have some custom fields that you've created either in your enterprise project server environment or project environment, and or in your TFS environment, we want to synchronize the two. Once you do that, you connect those pieces together, Project now knows, if I make changes to this portion of this database, this project file, that information is tied over into Visual Studio or TFS, essentially, and it's tied between the two. And as we make updates, we now have these two databases in sync. And as you can see here, Chetan's got the area path, he's got the work item type, the iteration path, which is really we talk about sprints. And this one's really important. It'll actually define that says, hey, look, you can have a monstrous schedule, but maybe only a small subset is where your development team is working. And that's where we need to pull our plans or our actuals back and forth between the two. Christine was talking about, with her environment, having many programs or several large initiatives that are all coming in. We don't necessarily want to push everything down into TFS. Go ahead, Chetan.
There are possible three values over here, yes, no, and refresh only. Yes means I want to synchronize between the TFS online and project. No means I don't want to synchronize. Refresh only means just for refreshing. Yes means going back and forth kind of thing. So
three choices, don't sync, sync, and refresh only, meaning we're pulling it back in from TFS. We're not going to push it down.
For this demo, I'm going to make all of them no, because we don't want to synchronize everything. And I'm just going to synchronize the resource we have assigned, so I'm just going to make those yes. And I'm going to assign the iterations which they're going to fall into. So iteration 1, 2, 1, 1. And then I'm going to make this work item as a feature.
Zoom that drop-down box so people can see that.
Sure.
So, these choices are coming out of TFS. These are connected to its relational database. Go ahead and drop down. Yep.
So these are the types of items you can get. So I'm going to make those are those features. Now, what you see so far here, it's all out of the box. Nothing has been customized. We have not tinkered with the mapping and anything like that. So those four fields comes by anything without doing anything. So what I'm going to do is a little bit different here, is I'm going to go and download that mapping which is out of the box, and I'm going to customize a little bit on that. In order for me to do that, I'm going to go into the command line prompt, and I'm going to go into this folder called program files, command file, Microsoft shared, team foundation server, and 12 folder. That's where all the TFS commands are sitting there. And I have not installed anything over here in this laptop. There is no TFS server installed, nothing like that. It's Visual Studio 2013 is installed, and this gets dropped automatically. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run simple command called TFS field mapping, and it's going to go down to the TFS online, and it's going to bring down it says that there is a file already exists, so that means the file is already sitting there in this folder, so I'm going to delete this file.
This is that mapping file we talked about, right? The idea is you're going to identify which custom fields in TFS will match to which custom fields in project. And basically, you set up an XML for that. Chait, just a second, there's a question. Go ahead. Yes. On-prem.
That is correct.
Absolutely.
The same command can be used for on-prem also. On-prem already has the connector out of the box available from Microsoft. What we're going to present here is online connector. The same command will be used for both sides.
Yep. Same process, same step, same command. Question right there? Yes. No, only once. Only once. You do it once.
This is a one-time mapping.
I'm sorry, say that again? For the project. So if it's a program or a portfolio, basically it needs to be set up. Chait, I know we can certainly run a batch file in terms of setting that up. Do you want to add to that?
So if you look at the command right now, if you pay attention to that, it's asking for the default collection, which is the main collection of the TFS online. And then it's asking for team project. So our project was shopping cart. So I'm mentioning that. And then I'm mentioning the mapping path location where I need to drop that XML file. So these are the three parameters I'm passing to that command. And what it does is it brings the file down to the file system with the SC file, the XML file.
Excellent.
And this has all the mapping, which is out of the box. I'm going to change a little bit over here to bring some other information. Any questions so far?
Whoops, there's a question over here. Let me get him first. Yes, go ahead. Yes, absolutely. Again, you're just going to change it's which mapping file that you can set up. There's more to this. I'll talk about this at the end, because right now, this is the native process for how you connect your environments to your environments. And so with the online environment we're talking about, not only now we can connect online to online, but you can also set up a little UI that says, here's the list. I don't have to do any command code. Just update the XML with a little user interface. There's a lot of things that are going to be coming. And as Ludo mentioned, with the online story and the ability for app development, it is actually speeding up the process to produce these in terms of either add-ons or as part of the app store. So you're going to see a lot of excellent things coming out in very short order. Let me circle back around. There was a question. Yes, go ahead. Okay, sounds good. Chait, let me. We're gonna. Oh, go ahead, Michael. Sure. So the question was: is there any permission or security permission setting? Chait, go ahead.
Yes, there is permissions. You need to have admin rights on the TFS online version. Yep.
Okay.
So once you have this file sitting there, you can see there's out of the box how the mapping is done. And you will notice that one of the fields is missing here is story points. By default, they don't provide that mapping already. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add that mapping, which I already have in my backup file. So I'm going to just add this mapping story points, this line.
So what Chait is saying is that the default instance of Project Server doesn't have story points natively in the field. So he's basically putting in another line that says, oh, by the way, I'm just copying this. Here's the field variation name so I can add story points in.
So I mentioned that this is the pointer where the TFS is sitting there, where it's going to put. And this is the project field where it's going to drop the file. Once this mapping, I have added this field, what I need to do is I just need to upload that file into the TFS online. So for that, I'm just going to run a simple command for that, which is very similar to what we did in download. Instead of download, we are going to do upload. And then it's going to connect and upload and done. So what it did is just change the mapping, upload it into TFS online. So now all the mappings are done between TFS online and Project Online, and now it's going to bring the data out and back and forth. So now I'm going to go to my project file, and I'm going to push this down to the TFS online. So I'm going to publish this, and this what it's going to do is going to, you can see in the bottom screen, it's publishing this, and then the operation successfully completed. And what that does is it's, if you go into TFS online version, and now we're going to supposed to see all the features which we published it. So now you can see all the features are published. over here, and your dev team member is going to start managing these three features.
Chetan, zoom that screen so people can see that. So the idea is that we just took project tasks. We basically addressed a lot of that XML code stuff. It was really addressing the custom fields that we wanted to link together. And now what we've done is we've moved maybe high-level schedules, could be sprints, could be things that a PM might be planning or a program manager might be planning, down and over to, say, the development team lead or the development team manager to work with. In the back, there was a question. Yes. Yes. If you're working with, so the question is that if, are they local fields that we brought or carried over, were they enterprise field? And the answer is, if you're on-premise, you can do both, right? If you're using just client, only connected to TFS without server, you can map either or. The only piece that's missing is synchronizing project server online enterprise fields, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. So, yes. Yeah, I mean, the whole idea is you're linking those databases, and now we can use a wonderful BI that we have, you know, in the cloud or on-premise to build upon that. SharePoint, KPIs, you have your OLAP cubes, you've got a lot of rich environment. We just need to sync those information databases together. Okay, let me take one other question. I know we can keep going, we'll be here all day. Yes, in the middle, go ahead. It was a refresh button, and the, Chetan, go back to project. Yeah, and I'll repeat the question. So zoom that real quick. So everybody can see the ribbon. There we go. Okay. So the question was, is that published for Project Server or with TFS? Because we're on the Team tab, we are dealing with TFS. If I go to the Project tab or click on the File tab, that's when we tell it to sync with Project Server. So the idea is if I've checked out a file, I can begin syncing those pieces together. We'll also talk about automation or auto updates as well. So great question. One more in the back. Okay. You can, but now we're talking about workflow, right? So connecting data. And the answer is yes. And with even with online, you still are able to do that. Here we go. Great question. In terms of, do you want to say anything else beyond that, Combine, and taking that
possible? You can do that. And I think we can talk about offline after the,
okay.
the presentation.
Chetan, keep going. Let's.
So once we publish that out to the TFS online, we have all these features sitting there. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just open up one of the feature and assign some story points to it. So dev team member manager thinks that, okay, this feature for getting a category and department kind of features, we might need to have three or four story points. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to click on this and add the child records as a story points, user stories, and I'm going to say gather data, click OK.
So while he's doing that, go ahead and keep going, Chetan. He's basically creating a child records, right? He's saying, oh, well, now we got some tasks on a project. I want to add some subset details that will live either in project or just in TFS or both. And the technical team is actually able to expand upon what that high-level task may have been.
And I'm assigning some 445 as a story point. For that one, I'm going to add a couple of more like that so we can see better view of it. Transform. Data.
Transform the data.
Say it's a 60.
Get data and manipulate. Good.
I'm going to assign some other resources this time. Let's assign Jesse.
So these subsets, notice that he is in Visual Studio TFS. He's drawing from what? Project resources that have been added to that project schedule. So he's basically connected those two pieces together and is now using project server resources associated to that plan in this view.
So I added a three story points for the first feature, and that's what I'm going to just use it for demo. So what I'm going to do now is next is going to go to the project. And I have a couple of fields sitting there for enterprise custom field. One of them is story points. So I'm going to bring that over here. And I'm going to bring sprint.
So your iteration?
which is my two of the fields, which is enterprise custom field sitting there in project. So now I'm going to go to the team. Since we already added a story points, dev team is working on it. I'm going to just click on refresh. When I do refresh, what it's going to do is it's going to bring all of those three things over here in project. One thing you notice is this enterprise custom fields has not been refreshed. So that's the problem. Project online and TFS online cannot refresh that kind of thing. So what we did is we wrote a connector. So in order for do that refresh kind of thing from TFS to project online.
So Chetan, hold on. Why don't you zoom in? I want people to see this. I know the screen's a little small and it's an eye chart for you in the back, but let's take a quick look at that again. So if you look down here in the middle, Chetan, obviously you can't increase that column width. What he did is, yep, there you go, is we dropped down some fields from project into Visual Studio, or basically I keep saying TFS here. And if you look, there we go, right here, gather data, transform data, get data, manipulate, those are coming now out of TFS back to project. Now, you can choose not to. In fact, we're going to go through them, and we're going to continue the demo, and we'll go right into doing actuals, because sometimes you don't want all that detail to roll into your project schedule. I still want to maintain that high-level picture. But the idea is I have that flexibility to connect these pieces together. Now, what Chetan's saying is you notice there's an error there because he's pulled down project server, basically online, enterprise fields. And at this point, the connector, the native connector that comes with the utilities, isn't aware of that. Chetan, go ahead. Let's continue.
So what, basically, the refresh pattern, what it's provided by Microsoft, does not refresh any of the field to enterprise custom field. So we have something, app called Synchronize ECF, which is going to bring all the information, and you can see now that all the fields have been populated from TFS online.
Zoom that. Go ahead and zoom it. So basically, it's a synchronized ECF. We built it as an add-in real quickly. You saw how quick that was. It went online, connected the enterprise fields, not just the local fields, but connected those enterprise fields together. So now we can keep project server online or PPM online with Visual Studio online. And there we go. We reined in the story points from project server, even though we pulled that directly in and out of Visual Studio. Okay. Go ahead.
The next thing what I'm going to do is I'm going to publish this project to Project Online. What it does is whatever we brought from TFS Online, now it's going to go into Project Online. And I'm going to just say publish. It's publishing it down to Project Online. And successfully completed. I'm going to go into Project.
Bringing that up there, one of the things that we find very productive is that if you do have dev work or development pieces, is that in Project Online or Project Servers, you build views that help to expose those columns. So whether I'm looking at a project or a program level, or as you can see here, Chetan's zooming right into what we call the shopping cart schedule that we published, and again, hitting it online, you'll click on the schedule off of the project detail page in the upper left-hand corner. Here we go. And choose, how about a summary or a detail view? Scroll to the right. We can see our assignments carrying over. We can see the sprint carried over, et cetera, coming out of TFS, basically dealing with the iteration. Let's get some actuals in there. Let's just kind of complete the circle. So let's say that you have a scenario where now your technical team may not be necessarily, they didn't, you know, maybe senior management didn't know that Ludo was going to announce there's a new team, basically a team member SKU, and so they're kind of timesheeting in three or four different systems, but they're constantly progressing actual remaining work in TFS. In fact, does anybody find that scenario where that's where they're progressing work, activities, remaining work, right? They're not doing it in your project schedule. They're maybe not even doing it in project server. They complain bitterly about having to do multiple entries in multiple timekeeping systems. So, Chetan, let's go down, let's go back, and let's carry those actuals back from basically TFS into project.
So what I'm going to do, first thing for that is I'm going to set the baseline so that they can see the what was the baseline set from the project manager that, okay, this is the hours, you get to work with it. So once I set the baseline, now I'm going to make one of this, say, assume that my profile is the task. So I'm going to make that as a task and assign that to iteration one, and assign that to team, or let's assign to me.
Yeah, that's better.
And then I'm going to publish this
Important not to forget that publish field. A lot of people do. They'll make changes and updates and forget to flag that field in it. Why is it syncing? Very simple. Sometimes it's not even exposed in the table. Go ahead, Chayton.
And then I'm going to go to team and publish it again. So this task will show up on the TFS online now. It's completed. I'll go to TFS online. And I'm going to run the query.
So a technical team member might come in. Have you refreshed it there? There we go.
You can see the task over here. And you can see that there's original estimate, which was 10 hours on the project schedule. And then now dev team can see how they can work with it. So when they are done with their task, I'm just going to make, okay, I have completed maybe 8 hours and remaining is 2 hours. And I'm going to save that information. And now I'm going to go into project file and refresh it. Now I'm going to add those two fields here.
So your work and remaining work?
Actual work and remaining work. And 8 and 2.
Chayton, go ahead and zoom that so people can see that. So what we've got here is we are allowing the technical team to work in an environment that's conducive for them. Whether we do or do not bring their tasks over, we can bring that back to your schedule, and we can certainly move that back to project or project online. And the idea is that whether we need all the details or we roll those hours up into a higher level task or what we call a feature, or if it's a story point, or excuse me, a user story, the idea is that we can roll that information out of TFS, bring that to project, and maintain that continuity of motion that says we can still see that schedule, actuals remaining coming in. Whether they went to project or whether they went to product server or if they didn't do either, they can still stay in this environment, and we allow them that flexibility to continue to give us feedback ongoing while they're using the native tool that they have. Yes, go ahead. Is this going to be correctly tracked in timesheets? So timesheets a whole other animal, right? So I love timesheets. I really do. I did not like them in 2007, and here we go. Thank you. So it's amazing to see a lot of improvements going there. So the key is there are some synchronization things that can happen, but right now at this point, at least this connection, we're not moving that into a timesheet view, meaning that we're storing it as a timesheet period. It is tracking the actuals. It's actually who actually did it. So your reporting database, your draft, your public database is all being updated, but we're not calling out as a separate timesheet bucket. Now, let me ask that question. How many people are using timesheets in project? Oh, this is exciting. It used to be the other way around where people were not using that. Chayton, do you want to add just expand upon that question around the whole idea of timesheet data?
Yeah, for the question.
No, that's not correct.
Yeah.
The answer is, so what the comment, let me repeat this, so for recording, is that it's not capturing time-phased actuals, and that is false. It is capturing time-phased actuals on that activity because it has to go against the task and it has to look at that. Now, in TFS, we're not saying on Tuesday I did this type of work. It's saying here's actuals remaining. It begins moving there. Chayton, do you want to expand upon that?
No, I think...
You got it? Okay.
Yeah, they got it.
Thanks. I mean, throw me under the bus here, right?
I mean, we can keep going. I mean, the problem is with the TFS, you don't have that start and end date concept, and you can't do it. I mean.
So why don't you expand upon that? Because I know around timesheet, talking about timesheet categories, timesheet periods, and capturing actuals, do you want to talk a little bit about some of the scenario options as far as moving those actuals and what to do with them?
Sure. There is one, like, let's say if you are doing a project schedule and if you really don't know what it's going to take it, then you wanted to publish that feature to the team lead and let them estimate the time and then get the estimate into your project schedule that way. That way you are getting a buy-in from the dev team. They are trying to figure out what it is going to take really to do that work instead of just throwing the number from project manager.
Again, so custom fields, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that way it is more useful that way. So.
All right, let me capture a couple questions here. We have about 6 minutes, and then I will be happy to stick around a little bit. I know we have another crew coming in. Let me start over here on the far left. Yes. So your workflows are happening in TFS, not necessarily in project. So remember, the idea is you can start in TFS, push it to project file. We just need to synchronize the project schedule and the TFS project together.
So when the workflow changes to a different resource name, it understands that and it can put
their actual name. That is correct.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Great question. Yes, sir. Ready? Okay, let me repeat the question, and if I get it wrong, correct me. So, say it again, sorry. Okay. Chaitin? It's, no, you don't. No, you don't have to turn that off.
Yeah.
So the question was, do the actual values that are coming in go to a custom field? The answer is no. They go into project server, yeah. Actual work.
Actually.
Okay. Chaitin?
So this actual work is at the task level. The timesheet is at the, if your question is related to.
Right, because you can parse the two out. Yeah. Tell you what, why don't we take that one offline? Because, I mean, we're starting to get into the back-end session, and that's really a bit more of a technical piece. High-level questions. Chaitin, do we have any more that we need to complete on the demo?
No.
Okay. I want to summarize here and make sure we get out there. So, in the back, yes. Yeah, is it okay? The question is when the actuals come back, where do they go on the task? So if it's a 3-day task, is it kind of peanut buttered from point A to point B? And the idea is we're looking at the actual sync time, where those actuals are going. So it's not going to be loading things in the future with actuals. It can't. It always is from today or back. Chaitin, anything else on that? I want to be careful with our time here. Okay, so Chaitin, if you're done with the demo, give it back to me. I want to summarize a couple quick pieces here. So. Oh, yes, here's our integration question. I can't believe somebody actually did a question mark, but all right. Capturing actuals. We talked about the ability to capture demand and capacity, pulling it back and forth between the resource pool, and certainly capturing the actuals. And again, we talk about timesheet buckets, meaning that we have data that's captured from the relational database for timesheet, and then, of course, where is it putting in actuals? And again, we'll be happy to discuss a little bit more about some of where the data sits. Some of it's very visual. You can actually see it directly where it goes. Okay, so we did our demo. Let's talk about a quick review here. So the idea of a code review, it's an essentialist stop, to good code quality, and they have a cat kind of reviewing the code. In terms of us pulling things back from the technical team is that as organizations begin to mature, and that's if you look at the direction where project is going, the ability to capture demand from OneNote, capture demand, say, from other data sources like SharePoint list, pulling it into project, and again, the ability to kind of be linking TFS and Visual Studio, it's important to find where that demand is and to bring those together. Certainly in terms of, we talked about the value of TFS to developers, and again, I appreciate my little method acting as we get started here in terms of the role playing, but a lot of the pain is found where PMs really get frustrated trying to figure out what the technical team's doing. Technical team is certainly very busy and basically embedded in what they're working with, and never the twain meet. Maybe there's a meeting or conversation, and you can continue to leverage that. Creating that high-value proposition in terms of connecting those two pieces together keeps some continuity and motion. And again, we talked about the ability to have a connection with Project Server online. Again, we have a connector for that, and that's one of the things that we just finished this month. in terms of allowing to stay online. A lot of organizations are looking at online very seriously in terms of their ability to say, look, we're already in Visual Studio Online. Yes, we like Project. We want to move from there. Okay, I put some links up here. I know this is kind of an eye chart, but if you will email me at the end here, I can certainly give you this PowerPoint presentation. But these links were also recorded and will be available as the project, from the project conference, they'll roll those out. I don't know how soon that will take. But these are quite a bit of helpful information. In fact, Christoph, he looks behind him in the back there, actually helped put some of the blogs out there. He is with the Yammer team and be the next session. But there's some great links, some great conversations around that. And we also help to encourage you to continue to have some of those as we go throughout there. As you get into TFS, play with that. Again, reach out. We're happy to point you in the right direction. Sounds like some of you have tinkered with some of the connectors, maybe didn't work. Sometimes it's a little bit of knowledge goes a long way. So we encourage you to fill out the evaluation. Again, there are still prizes and things that are available for folks. And again, thank you very much. I will stick around for a few minutes while the next set of speakers come in, but I hope this was helpful for you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.